Well, if we could segue just a moment away from the worship folder and come into a brief introduction for our message that's coming a little bit later this morning, I'd like to do that right now. You'll notice that the message is a phrase that James loves as he refers to the Word of God, the implanted Word. When I read the book of James, I just get the sense and feeling that he loves that phrase. The implanted Word of God. It wasn't too long ago that I had a treadmill that I was using that quit on me. And I thought I would take advantage of our needs and seeds board outside of the Family Life Center. So I filled out a card, put my need on the card, and hung it on the board. Well, Sherry Ruza was reading that board, and she noticed my need for a treadmill. And she lovingly questioned me, as only Sherry could do, on if I had a treadmill, would I actually use it? Now, that was shocking to me. Are there really people out there that have treadmills that don't use them? I just could not believe it. Well, after we had decided together that I would use the treadmill, and Sherry, if you're in here, now it's between me and God, not you. The Ruzas were kind enough to supply me with a treadmill. Now, my relationship with this treadmill is based on two simple things. The first thing is I know exactly where that treadmill is located in my house, and I know all the benefits it offers me. And the second thing is that unless I get on it, I won't receive any benefit from it. I wish it were different. But just knowing of the benefit won't give me the desired results. In fact, I could study about treadmills until I became a treadmill expert, but still no benefit. I would actually have to use what I know. Yeah, get on it before I would receive any physical change in my life. Well, today we're going to spend our time during the message talking about the implanted Word of God. My Aunt Nell, who's with the Lord now, commonly would say, you can read a lot of books about the Bible, but don't forget to read the Bible. Now, maybe when you read the Bible, you're like me, you have a favorite place in your home. I love our screen porch. I love to just sit out there early in the morning while it's still dark, turn on a little light and just listen, connect with God's Word. And maybe you have a sunroom or an office. Maybe you connect in your bedroom, family room. It's a special place in your home. Now, other people like to go to a coffee house and order the best cup of coffee of all time, decaf, non-flavored cream. Sugar substitute? Wow. Best cup of coffee you can get. And then take a little bit of time and connect with the Word of God in this setting, in this coffee house. I like to do that myself. Other people connect while they're at work and during a break in a noisy break room. But still, that's one of their favorite places to connect. Well, those all speak to our relationship with the Bible. And the writer of Hebrews speaks of the role of the Bible in our lives. Let's read this together. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Well, that is the supernatural, relational power of the implanted Word of God in our lives, exposing what needs to change. The question is, are we willing to go beyond the level of knowledge and really change? Much. Let's turn, if we would, back to James 1. James 1, while you're turning, let me mention that receiving the Word of God can be a difficult thing, especially if we're dealing with any bitterness in our heart. That is why it's so important to grow in spiritual maturity. Remember, God's love is the catalyst for our growth, not our experiences. God's love is the catalyst, not our experiences. James 1, specifically verses 21 through 25. Please listen as I read. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, excuse me, and all that, pardon me, let me start that again. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in all that he does. In that section of Scripture, we see a couple of commands directly related to the implanted word, but we also see an analogy that James takes us to. It's an analogy of the garden. He's talking about the soil. Implanted word, the soil, or the soil being us. So I thought for a moment this morning, before we get to the commands, that we might just look at what a soil test is. One source that I looked at reported that it's an analysis of a soil sample to determine nutrient and contaminant content, composition, and other characteristics, such as acidity or pH level. Tests are usually performed to measure the expected growth potential of a soil. So that's what an agricultural soil test is. Now, let's look at a real soil report. Now, this report was reported by Matthew, and it was ordered by Jesus Christ. And the soil technician was a farmer. And the PO was Matt 3:3-23. And you'll notice at the bottom that the seed that was used in this test was the same seed used for each soil. And so the emphasis is on the soil, not on the seed being used by the farmer. Okay? Well, let's look at the first soil type that was tested. First soil type was by the path. Kind of a hard soil, and there wasn't any understanding in this particular soil. In fact, the evil one came and took the seed right away. The next soil that was tested by the technician, the farmer, was in rocky places. And this seed sprung up really quickly, but no roots, no depth, and just withered right away. Well, there was a third soil that was tested in this report, and it was in thorns. This particular soil was full of thorns, and unfortunately, worries and desire to be wealthy and different cares of the world just choked out this seed. So this particular soil, no good either in terms of potential. But the last soil that the farmer tested in this particular report was ready soil. And this ready soil hears and understands what's going on, understands with the idea of doing. And so the growth potential that we came up with, or that was reported, was 100-fold, some 60 and some 30, which would have been very surprising to the Galilean office that was receiving this report, because they would have only expected around 10%. It would have been unbelievable to the closest follower of Jesus Christ as well, because they wouldn't have expected the soil to return that kind of a yield. Well, let's go back to James now, after we've looked at a few soil types, and consider the soil that he's referring to in verse 21. He says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Well, first of all, the first command that we want to look at that comes out of this verse is eagerly receive the word. Eagerly receive the word. We want to note as well that the verb receive is important. It's really receiving. I was up at Bronson Hospital visiting Ed Campbell this past Friday, and I met his nurse, a real sweet lady, and she said that her son Jordan was coming home from Afghanistan Friday night. When that family receives Jordan back, that depicts what this verb is saying here. They are going to eagerly receive their son back into their family after a year of not seeing him. That's what's going on with eagerly receive the word. And then who does James report is receiving the word? Somebody that's humble, or somebody that's teachable, somebody that desires to learn and grow and walk. And this person that is receiving this word, are they doing anything in the garden? And James says, yeah, they're doing something in the garden. They're putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. I got a kick out of the King James Version. It can be very striking as it depicts things. And in the King James, it said that this person that's weeding the garden is getting rid of all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Well, how do we eagerly receive the word? James gives us three ways that we can receive the word. And as you see, the first one is up there. In verse 19, he says that we can be quick to hear. We can be quick to hear. You know, if you opened up just about any college textbook that was written for a curriculum that has anything to do with leadership and written on the subject of communication, it's going to say the greatest thing that you can do to be a communicator is listen. An author that recently passed away, he had a statement that he was quoted on several times. He said, "Understand, then be understood." And it's nice to see that it's a biblical principle. Be quick to hear. Well, let me give you four reasons why we might not be as quick to hear. There's many more, but we're just going to look at four. The first one is you might be experiencing or have an incorrect view of God. Now, if you were here last week, that sounds familiar, because we also said that might be a reason that you might not be maturing as a believer. You're looking at God in the wrong way. James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. Where we may be interpreting God through our experience rather than looking at our experience through the eyes of God. So be careful that we don't have an incorrect view of God. Second thing is there's a potential that we have sin in our lives, and we just don't want to get rid of it. If you remember last week, there were a couple of bags that we just kind of envisioned up here, and the bag for temptation was over here. And James instructed us, it's our own evil lust. Our own evil lust, that's our problem. And when that lust conceived, it gives birth to a baby, and that baby is sin. And when sin has its work and role in our lives, it leads to spiritual death. Sometimes physical death. So maybe there's sin in our lives, and we need to get rid of it, and we don't want to look at it in the Word of God. Third thing could be that we have unresolved relational issues going on in our lives. Maybe it's with a spouse, a friend, a child, an adult child. If that's going on with you, and I would encourage you, do what you can to resolve this problem. And if it exists inside of our body here, please do what you can to resolve it. You think, well, how can my little issue be causing the body any problem? Here's the problem. Because people take sides. And sides are not good for a church. So if there's anything like that, please look at Matthew 18 and let's take a shot at resolving it. And if you're saying, well, how do I know if I have the problem? I'd say, well, you don't want to pass this person in the hallway. You get a stomach ache if you think about this person. Things like that give us the signals. And then fourthly, we could just be physically exhausted. I just don't have the energy. Many of us are there. We're busy. Physically exhausted. Ask God for the help in terms of creating a schedule that will be more conducive. And I don't say that judgmentally, because I deal with the same thing. So quick to hear, and then the next thing that James says is, be slow to speak. Have you noticed that you can't hear anything while you're talking? Not only can you can't hear it, but a lot of other people can't hear things. Because we're talking. When I was in seminary, many of us became concerned about not taking in everything we were being taught until we finally realized that's the point of this. We're given too much. I mean, we're lifelong learners as Christians. That's what we all are here. We're lifelong learners. That's the point of it. We can't take it all in. Slow to speak because we're taking so much in, ruminating on it, learning from it. And then control of the tongue is considered, can be considered spiritual maturity. Not saying what it is that you want to say. And the Bible references, he who has an ear, let him hear. It just might be that God has a lot more to say to us than we actually have to say to him, even though he loves to hear from us. Slow to speak. And then the third way that James helps us here is slow to become angry. Let's look at verse 20. James 1, verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God, doesn't achieve a lifestyle full of doing what God wants us to do, and quite simply, it doesn't achieve living godly. You know, you could go out and yell and scream at God if you want to, but typically we don't do that. We yell and scream at everybody around us. Because we can't see God's reaction, but I can see if I'm hurting my wife. My mom suffered just about her whole life that I knew her. And probably the last 7 years, she really suffered. And then she died. And it ticked me off. It ticked me off that a godly woman would have to go through that. I was mad for about 11 years. I look like a Christian. I was in a lot of services. But I was an angry man. And people around me knew it. And it blocked every aspect of God in my life outside of the superficial connection point of being a good Christian. You know, the funny thing about anger is you start out choosing it, but it ends up choosing you. You get so used to an anger response that that's all you know. You're a hammer and everything looks like a nail. Listen to this beautiful picture that Paul paints for us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that a beautiful picture? It took me 11 years to get back to that. I would just encourage you today, if you're angry with God, do what you need to do to resolve it. Because He loves us tremendously. In verse 22, we see the second command, energetically apply the word. Let me read verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Who delude themselves. Now that is an interesting statement. Now, if you've been around the evangelical circle at all for the last 20 years or so, you've been aware that there's a conversation about watering down the Scripture. It has to do with bringing people into the church and growing as a church and things like that. And I'm not necessarily opening up that dialogue this morning with you, but I want to go back to what James says here, that a hearer of the Word only deludes themselves. If all we do is hear the Word of God, James tells us that we're watering ourselves down in our Christian life. In fact, we could put the word cheats themselves. A hearer of the Word only cheats themselves. Well, what type of look or study is actually James talking about here that actually cheats oneself, and that's an aimless look at what God is talking to you about. And we see the analogy in verses 23 and 24. Let me read them. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Probably makes sense that he picked a man. And I know some of you men spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. And some of us should spend more. Some of us should just hang it up. But he picked a man just walking by and taking a look in the mirror. In verse 24, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Just an aimless look. Nonchalant. There it is again. That's who I am. Glad I'm not doing anything about it. And walks away. Well, what kind of look do we need? And James helps us in verse 25. He says we need an intent look. Let's look at that verse. Verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and we're going to come back to that in just a moment, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, or I could say one that cheats himself or herself, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So intently looking, or the verb means that somebody is bent down and really studied something. I was going to say like bending down on a green and pulling a golf ball out of the cup, but I don't think that fits, so I'll leave it out. I'm not going to say it. But bending over and looking at something with the idea that you're going to learn everything you can about it and make it happen in your life is what that verb means. Intently looking. Now let's look at this law of liberty. Now that seems like a bit of an oxymoron, doesn't it? The law of liberty? I thought laws were confining. Somebody telling us what to do. We don't like that. Well, James absolutely loves to call the gospel a law. Later on, he'll call it the royal law. So what he's referring to here is the Word of God, the implanted Word, hopefully in ready soil, the law of liberty. You remember what Jesus had to say about people that abide and remain in Him? Let's read this together. If you continue in My Word, then you are truly, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's that law of liberty. And if I took James and dropped him into a Johannine writing, it would read, if you continue in My implanted Word, in ready soil, then you are truly disciples of Mine. Eagerly receive the Word, energetically apply it, and James says, this man will be blessed in all that he does. Father,